Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Board Game Rundown. Today we've got a super extra special guest. Very excited. Alex Inoue from Runes of Zun, Gobico Games. He's one of the designers. We've got an interview with him in the end, middle of the show.
So no topic today.
No topic. He's the topic.
He is the topic.
And yeah, really excited about that. But first, we're also going to talk about games we played. News.
Yep.
Kickstarters.
Yep. Yep.
And
crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding. Yeah. Yeah. Mine's more of a crowdfunding.
But Tim, aren't we giving away a game?
We are giving away a game. We're so close, Bob. What are we giving away?
We're giving away AEG's Edge of Darkness.
Yes.
Huge, like, card crafting, deck building kind of game.
Dice Tower.
Yeah. Huge. Well, it's not dice. It's like
Cube Tower.
Yeah. It's a very cool game. It's a Kickstarter exclusive. They're actually getting ready to release another expansion on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So if you
up.
Win this, you could not have to buy the base and just get the expansion for it.
Right.
So we have a video right here that if you go to that video and you comment on it saying maybe your favorite AEG game, we're getting a lot of canvases and space bases.
Yes.
So comment on that video and we will pick. And if you are also a subscriber and you're chosen, you will get the game sent to you.
Right. And when we hit 500 subs, that's when we're going to give it away.
Yeah.
So we're like 25 away. We're so close.
So close.
We're so close. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to give this thing away.
But How much are they going to have to pay if they win?
Oh, well, the shipping is going to cost...
Man, in today's market, too.
Shipping's rough. Bob, you got the calculator. What's shipping?
It's free.
Gratis! Yes,
Bob! Yeah.
I'm not the smartest person ever, but I don't think that was a calculator.
Yes! Eat it!
Face.
So, anyways, yes, guys, enter in the contest. There is 200-plus comments.
Mm-hmm.
500 subscribers, so your odds are good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so you just get on there.
Mm-hmm. Get your friends on there. Have them comment, you know, also.
Yeah. Just 24 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we need with your own subscription.
Right.
Which would make 25, which is what
we
need.
I mean, it's a fluctuating number, but we're in the 20s.
500. Yeah. Yeah, it's real close.
Yeah.
It's real close.
Yeah, but make sure you also like and subscribe and ring that bell so you get all the notifications when our...
Bells are important because YouTube's algorithm is a bit of a mean person.
Yes.
Also, because sometimes we talk about Kickstarters or games on GameFound that are going to end like the day this pops up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we'd hate for you to miss it.
Yes. That would be unfortunate.
Anyways, boys, what are some games we played this week?
I think the first game I played, my memory's terrible. I think the first game I played this whole week was Resident Evil 3, the board game.
That was the first game you played this week?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, Resident Evil 3, the board game by Steamforged Games. Tim and I played it with our friend Pete, who's been on the show before. We have an unboxing or review here. I'm going to link one of them when they're available, and they will link to the others, of course, because they're related. But pretty cool game. We liked it. We only have first impressions video going out right now. because we played the introductory scenario, which is only about half the rules, maybe.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed it quite a bit. It was very simple to learn, very intuitive, almost too easy, but I think I'd much rather have an intro scenario that teaches you the rules and feels a little too easy, because then you jump into the deep end, right?
Right. Yeah. And then it just doesn't kick your teeth
rather
in
than playing
a
beginning scenario that you're like, man, seriously? Like the Pandemic Legacy tutorial mission, you're like still getting your butt kicked and you're like, I don't know if I want to play the rest of the game. This is so hard already.
I was out when you said Pandemic.
Right. Whatever. Legacy's a great game.
Fair enough.
But so Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I don't think it does enough to make me want to run out and grab Resident Evil 3 when I already have games like Descent and Imperial Assault. But if you are a fan of the Resident Evil IP, then this game's for you. Mm-hmm. As long as it's a dungeon crawl, ish
co-op
style, like straight co-op. There's no bad guy, right? All the
no
zombies and nemesis are all just straight out of, you know, they've got their own AI.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward again to playing the scenarios because we love difficult co-ops.
Yes.
And this one really could get there.
Right, and so don't misconstrue my words. Like, Pete has a copy of the game. I will be happy to play Pete's anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like I need to rush out and throw it in my collection. Now, we might play through campaign mode and go, holy smokes, guys.
Sure.
That was incredible.
And also, I mentioned this in the first impressions, but honestly, my thing is, so playing it did not make me like, oh, I've got to run out and get Resident Evil 3, but it did make me think like, maybe I should check out Maybe I want to own Resident Evil 2, though.
Oh, sure.
Because I...
You like that game
I like that
better.
Game so much more, like, video game-wise. And yeah. I really want to see how they do, like, the keys.
Right.
You know, like, I mentioned this in a video earlier, but, like, you know, in Resident Evil 2, a huge mechanic is, okay, well, in order to unlock this part, it's the spade door, so you have to find the spade key.
Right.
And there's a lot of puzzle stuff like that in the second mm-hmm. one that isn't really in the third one. Mm-hmm. So I really want to see how that plays out
sure.
in the board mm-hmm. game and stuff, the puzzle solvingness.
Yeah. Yeah, they do some things right. Well, we won't blow through all of ours. So, Bob, what did you play?
Learned a new game over. Ooh. Yeah, we played Shelfie Stacker.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. We've got an unboxing
video.
We have
an unboxing
for that
video somewhere around here. There
oh,
it is.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and, but no, it was cool. It's, you put out of these, boxes in between, one, for each person plus one. You pull out three dice and you set them on there, and the dice have like box sizes on it, right? So one big box, two small boxes, three boxes, four boxes, all the way up to six.
Right.
And then as you draft a whole box of games that are being delivered to you, you've got your shelf, which is dual layered. You have a shelf of shame, and then you're also playing guys from your hands. And so everybody has cards. There's like 16 of them, but you only pick nine, right?
Okay.
And you're going to put one face down, then you simultaneously reveal. Lowest card is going to get to pick first. And then they also have a special ability on there, and you can use it the same turn you play it, or you can save it and wait and use the ability later on. And then you have to place all of your dice either in your normal shelf or in your shelf of shame,
okay,
and whatnot. And then they have different abilities too, like some like oh, flip a die over, sixes are wild, so you can change it to whatever you know size you want. And then there's scoring cards too, like that will change game to game, like if you've got one through five, or if you've got so many
sure.
of this color and this pattern. Things like that.
Right on.
But yeah, it was super simple, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes
nice.
To play. But yeah, it was fun. It was very light.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's
mm-hmm.
awesome, though, when you get a Kickstarter
mm-hmm.
that you haven't played.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you get to play it. And you're like, oh, yeah, well,
yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, and like the insert on that is awesome.
The insert's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, it holds everything. And
I like
no
the
issues.
Meta theme.
Yeah, yeah. I really yeah, did. Like that. Looking at the cards and stuff mm-hmm. when we were unboxing it, I was
it's
just
funny because
like,
oh, that's like one of them is like the obligated,
obligatory.
Yeah, expansion or something like that. You
yeah.
know, like the gamer. And she's like holding back like the shelf and like the tentacles are
right,
coming out and everything.
Right,
and it's like, but it came with the base game or something like that.
Right.
And like, yeah, it's Tim. It's Cthulhu War stuff just keeps showing up at the house.
You know,
yeah.
Still waiting on like two more of those nice. Kickstarters.
I know.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep.
It was cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Did you play anything else?
I did. Yep. We also learned the night game.
Oh, that's the one I really
yeah,
want to know
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So it's very
played.
Creepy. And man, I'm going to tell you what. Spread out.
We
were
oh,
like,
no.
oh yeah, we'll stay close together. And that way our candles can keep each other's
so,
spaces
so
lit.
In the night cage,
yeah.
you're trying to like escape this labyrinth?
Yeah. So you always play with all four of the characters, right? So if you're playing two people, you
oh,
have two
okay.
people each, okay? And the whole goal is you've got this stack of tiles. And in the stack, you've got key tiles, you've got and gates, and then there's monsters. They call them wax eaters because your candle's the only light
oh,
you have,
right?
right?
Yeah.
And then and as you move around the board, you're only lighting the orthogonal directions. Mm-hmm. And so as you move the passages behind you, they get discarded. And then if you go back the other way, like things have changed, right?
Nice.
And then there's crumbling passageways. And so if you, because you can stay there, right? So there's a monster over there, like, I don't want to move because if I move, that monster will activate, right? But if you stay there, you can fall. And the crumbling passageway will fall, and your character goes to the edge of the board. And then the next round, you're basically falling through that passageway, and you pick a spot to stop at, and then you populate that with tiles and whatnot. And it's super interesting, but being grouped up the way we were as we started pulling monsters, because like you can trigger a monster and then if you move and stay in the same column, they attack you. But if you move out of their line of sight,
sure.
they miss, they fall off, they go away. But since there were so many spawning and we're all right together, like it was just combo
right,
hitting
massacre.
Everybody and you lose three tiles every time you get hit and your candle goes out. We ended up losing too many key tiles, so not everybody could get a key and we lost that way. But then when your flame goes out, you have to basically make your way, you have to move from the tile and you can't see, you're blindly like just pulling one and moving into it. And if you move
nice.
Into a monster, you get attacked again. But once you move into your like adjacent to an ally, basically you light your candle off of their candle and then you can see again.
Fantastic.
It was
wow.
super neat, super thematic. It came
Man.
With the little candles, we turned the light off and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
kind of made it
I was gonna ask.
And there was a sound. I didn't use the sound thing. I should have.
Sure.
But yeah, they have a like a sound effect thing
I
that
am,
you could
that
do.
Game, I am so excited
yeah,
to play
it's
that
super
game.
Neat. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
so excited to play mm-hmm. that game. It looks so good.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
I just love the theme of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really glad that you had a good experience.
Yeah.
I was gonna be really bummed out if you're like, eh.
Yeah. Well, it was short. I mean, it was fun. We probably only lasted like maybe 20 or 30 minutes, but we were so bunched up, and we're like, first couple of monsters, we're dealing with them okay, and then there were three on the board, and we were done.
I believe that game, it says it's a 50-minute runtime, right?
Yeah.
I think I made a joke. Like, yeah, like, 50 minutes? That's oddly specific. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really weird number.
It was a weird number.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, it was
that's
cool,
so cool. Mm-hmm. So we all played, and Dan and I played separate, but Bob also got to play Garinto from Grand Gamers Guild, and a new game of theirs. We've got a review coming. Spoiler alert. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I mentioned in the video, like, looking at the box, I was kind of not super hyped on it, but then, man, we played it, and we had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Tim literally was like, we're going to play this for the show. And I was like, okay, cool. And he was like, it's Abstract Strategy. And I was like, okay, not cool. I don't like Abstract Strategy, playing it, and like, literally, like, maybe one round in, like, a couple turns in, I just couldn't get over how clever I thought the game felt. Mm-hmm. And I liked it a lot.
Well, so I've been reading some of the press stuff for it. And then I got lucky, reached out to Grand Gamers Guild and was like, hey, we're really interested. So they sent us the copy. But, you know, we try to be honest about our feelings.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, just lucked into a really...
Have no qualms with tearing an Abstract Strategy game apart.
No, right? Yeah,
especially a beloved one.
Yeah. Clearly.
Sagrada sucks.
I like Sagrada.
And I really liked this game.
But Garinto is better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Garinto's really good. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
It did felt very puzzly, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I'm going to move this and that puzzle, you know, and I'm trying to solve my puzzle
and
to get as many
while building this other puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and it's quick.
Yeah,
it's really quick. I mean, we played four players with teaching in
30 minutes.
Yeah, if that. It was under 30 minutes
under
for
30
sure.
Minutes. Yeah.
So really good, very accessible as far as like teaching, like difficulty teaching.
Yep.
This is going to be a game that you can take to your family members aren't gamers, right? Parents, in-laws, so on and so forth, you know, brothers and sisters maybe. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's a game that makes people feel smart, I think.
Not me.
Well,
when I play that game, I'm
that's
like,
really hard for you.
You dummy. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
A lot of weight to lift.
So Dan got to watch.
I did watch. I wrote it down. I didn't play it, but I wrote it down.
But I got to play Redline.
I did watch the entire playthrough. Nice. So
Redline. And Pete played against
me. Poor Pete.
And he's like, oh, I don't know. And then I kept giving him the option to stop playing.
Okay.
We should go into this. Not because the game is bad, per se, but because he hates card games. He hates deck builders. He hates like games like Magic the Gathering, like dueling card games. He hates them. He hates them.
So,
he hates them.
So I thought he might like it because it's basically like a pre-constructed deck.
Okay.
Right. So it's not like you've got to build your own deck.
Sure.
But there are starter decks.
Yeah. It's a living, expandable
card game.
Card game. Right. But yeah, Pete's like, oh, I don't know. And then when he was doing well, he was having a good time. Right.
Right, yeah. just.
But no. I was doing better. He had a bad draw early. He mulliganed, but probably didn't do it the right way or enough.
Or just got bad cards again.
Could have.
You know, you only allowed one mulligan, so you could just draw a bad hand
again. Yeah, so what you do is you take like a partial mulligan, so you
discard cards you don't want, draw new ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, and you just put them on the bottom of your deck.
Yeah, Marvel Champions works that way.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
But anyways, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really neat. I like them. There's a mechanic of similar to games like Magic. You've got resources that you're gonna play out like lands, and you expend them to deploy your mechs. But so the game's called Redline, right? For a reason. So you've got your base, you've got the front line, and then you've got the red line. The red line is where all the objectives are.
Okay.
So
I love that, by the way.
Fighting
over the red line just sounds so cool.
You're gonna be basically playing your cards. They start in either your base or your front line, and then you can move. Once you've got your mechs, and you can like equip them with weapons and pilots and things like that. And there's interesting ways for compatibility, like the way that all works. And then you've got these awesome dials. And it's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a B for your base. You're gonna pick and secretly just assign all your dials, so you don't know which objective you're gonna
go
to.
For,
now
right,
I had
right.
a way to peek at one of Pete's,
so
and then you could readjust.
Going. Right. Okay.
Right. There's other things that will let you do those kind of things. Like I had a tactics card, which let me stop Pete's mech from moving. It was called Stuck in the Mud.
Oh, nice.
So it was stuck and couldn't be deployed.
That's funny.
So there's all kinds of different things like that. The way combat, I think, just took a minute to understand. But once we understood it, no big deal.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Every mech has a speed. That's your initiative. They attack in that order.
Right. The lighter mechs don't hit as hard.
Sure.
You know, because they're faster.
You roll a die and you have aim and you have to hit faster than the enemy mech's speed because they can dodge. And if you do, then you do the damage listed on your mech to the enemy.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you're either going to capture all five objectives and hold them till the end of the actual round. So if you go first, it's harder to do, right? Mm. Because the other player has
can
the opportunity to react.
Yeah. Sure.
And then the other way is as you take an objective, you can damage either – you can damage the base. Mm-hmm. So you can either damage mechs in the base or you could damage the general or the base itself. And by damaging the base itself, you're just raising cards off the top of the deck. So you mill that deck down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it's gone, game over.
The generals are like asymmetric powers.
Right, cool. Right. There's more. There's going to be more stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. We will actually have the designer on sometime soon for an interview about it.
Yeah.
But we'll just make sure you guys play before that even happens because we want to do a review for it. But overall, man,
I honestly do feel like I could give a review at this point. I sat right next to you, watched the entire gameplay from beginning to finish. Yeah. I just didn't make the decisions, but I completely understand the game.
The nice thing, I'm going to give you a rare compliment, is that I knew that Dan would be okay with just observing and like...
He likes to watch.
Right. It's nice to have someone just sitting there with the rule book.
But
too,
that was some of it. Like, hey,
what does Overwatch mean? Oh, well, it means this. Cool. Thanks. You know, yeah. In my spare time, I'm just reading it so that I know kind of the chapters.
Show where
and,
Tim's going wrong at.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Still won.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Redline. It was really solid. I'm really happy. Again, nice. A Kickstarter I saw.
Right.
I thought was cool and I backed it. And their turnaround was under like 9-10 months? I mean, it was
That's
quick.
Fast. Yeah, yeah.
From getting printed and shipped, you know, from
it is a smaller boxed game than I thought it was going to be.
It's,
just from the pictures.
Right.
But I mean, it doesn't need to be bigger.
Right.
It's all cards. And then the couple, your dice for your recon and your
damage and you could get the miniatures or whatever.
Right. And you get miniatures mechs that you basically just put on your cards to have it look cool.
I guess you could, just place
it. It's
just
for the look.
Right. Yeah. Right. Aesthetics. Nice. I didn't get the mechs. But I'm really happy I got the card game. Nice. It's really solid.
You have Scythe anyway.
Yeah.
Just pull out the mechs.
There you go.
I do. I've got, GKR.
I thought it looked really cool. Partly I might have a slight bias. It has, I've talked about this in the past, it has an insane amount of mechanics and similar to a card game I was working on years ago. And to see it all work and stuff, I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. I wanted to design something like this, you know? And to see someone who pulled it off, I thought it looked like it played really well.
Really good. Really
good. That's all I got.
Yeah. So I played another one and we actually ended up playing it twice. We enjoyed
Rebel
it so
Chamber.
Much.
I'm just kidding.
No. So Brain Crack Studios. Venice. We learned Venice, played it, and we really liked
That's
it.
That's another really fast game, too, right?
It said 20 minutes a player.
Oh, no, it's Mercado.
Yeah. No, Mercado was Boa. Yeah. Correct. This one ended up taking us probably 2 hours to play, but we still played twice. It didn't feel like it drug at all.
Sure.
Like, it was...
And that's where you're moving the boats up and down the canal.
Yeah.
And
the components are super neat. So you flip the board out. It's got a bunch of canals all over the place. You randomly put these tiles out that are like different buildings, and then there's a couple of buildings that are always out, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you place your boats out and whatnot, and you have two each. And at the start of your turn, you're gonna pick which gondola you want to be in.
Right.
And then after that, you have to move it from one to the other unless you pay $3 to stay in the one that you're
in.
And then your first movement is free. So you go, as you're moving down like the canals, you go over like money spots. So the first one will be free. If you've got a bridge built, you can go underneath the bridge and that saves you money and earns you money actually. But then, as you go around to these different buildings, you stop at them, and then you place a worker. They're divided into four sections. And so you put the worker on the first section, and then if you stop there again, you can, advance that worker. Like, you're training them, and he gets better. And then when you activate that, you get to activate all of the abilities that are on there. And then as other people go on there, you can only have one person per section except for the last one. So if I'm on that first section, then somebody else goes there, and they put a guy on there, that advances my guy. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of push the workers around and level them up. And it's really neat because, man, you get toward the end, and I had a bunch of money, and I was down to the last, mission card. I was like, man, I need, three grays and an orange. I was like, okay, there's those. Okay, so I'm paying a bunch of money, and I'm going back because you can also go past the section. If you've got a worker there already, you can just activate it as you go past and, pick up all the cubes you need and go around. And so it's kind of like pickup and delivery, but it's got a lot more to it.
Yeah.
And then there's also, shady things going on, too, where, if your boat's past somebody else's boat, you have a meeting, and you have to pay, scrolls, basically, show your papers, or you gain intrigue. And at the end of the game, if you've got intrigue, you have to make sure you take care of it, because whoever has the most intrigue gets arrested. And they cannot win regardless of the number of points they have.
Nice.
So yeah, it's kind of neat. So you want to do some things and gain intrigue, because that allows you to do like, oh, if you have more intrigue, you get to gain more points on
sure,
this.
Sure, so it's like the Skulls of Skullport or whatever,
Yeah.
From Lords of Waterdeep. That's the same kind of thing where you're like, man, you can use these crazy abilities
get
if
all
you
this
take
infamy.
Madness yes, or whatever,
but,
whatever
yeah.
it's called.
Yeah. But we really enjoyed the game. My biggest knock on it would be that the boats are big because with kind of like the Black Fleet where you can put the boxes on there, the boxes fit on your little boats, right? So as you go around, you carry them. And the canals are kind of small. So like as you got three people in like one section, it's kind of like
gets
crowded up.
Snug, right?
Yeah. And so like what they have is like the board is double sided and it's just daytime, nighttime, and it's just aesthetic. There's no real big thing to it. I really would have liked to have seen them do on the backside like a blown up version like Scythe did. Mm-hmm. And then you could buy for $5 or $10 like the extra board to attach to it to make it a much bigger, make the canals bigger. And then the other thing is the building tiles are small. So when you put your worker on there, they do kind of block like the symbols on there.
Sure.
So you're constantly moving them to see what's underneath them.
Right.
So with the expanded board, you'd have room on the outside of the building to move your guys.
So you think
they'll
be like
everything.
A playmat eventually?
Yeah, maybe a playmat. Or like I said, just under the second edition, instead of doing you know the other side that way, you just do half a board, and then you can do like $5-$10 expansion and you know sell the secondary board as a bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like we played it a second time because we did play one rule slightly wrong because like the main buildings that are on there, you can't put workers on them, but we were activating them as if we had workers on them.
Okay,
and we both kind of did it the same amount, so we didn't really think like one person had a major advantage over the other person. But like, well, let's just play it again the right way. And yeah, we still really enjoyed it, and
it's a great way to trick people into playing a game with you twice.
Yeah. Oh, did we play that wrong? We should play again.
Just teach them wrong the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my motto. Right on.
So yeah, Venice was it.
Venice.
Yeah. So now I'm excited to check out like Ragusa. The other one. Yeah.
Yep. I've been playing Magic: The Gathering Arena.
Nice.
Still going strong.
Yeah.
Oh, the Forgotten Realms stuff is really good.
It is so cool.
It's fun.
I was so happy when I pulled that Dritz out. He's not very expensive, but he's a Dritz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope, and I got Tiamat too.
Hands board. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, there went that. happens, also playing Ascension Online. Hey, hit us up with a message if you want to play Ascension or Magic or Star Realms. Also play that. I've had ongoing games with Pat and Julia for
I would say just follow us on Facebook in the description, and we'll talk about if we're doing anything like those, you know,
or
Magic
Blood
Ascension
on the Tower.
Or Blood on the Clock Tower.
Tower.
We'll invite you guys all into
get those ramped
stuff.
Up again. Going
that was a pretty good weekend of games for not being a gaming weekend.
Not bad.
I guess
at
every weekend's
all.
Gaming weekend.
Every
when I'm there.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's get into news, I suppose.
Okay. Let's somber up a bit then. Huh?
Yeah. So in just sort of like downer gross news. Blizzard and Activision, right? Same company. Huge legal trouble after a 2-year investigation of like sexual harassment charges. And it's pretty serious. I'm not going to get into it all here, but if you want, look it up and read some of the stuff going on. It's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty horrible. And I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, because they're tied to, I mean, not only a ton of major
video game franchises,
right? But I mean, Hearthstone is huge. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft is huge. Call of Duty, Diablo. I mean, there's a lot of properties.
Yeah. Overwatch.
Overwatch. Yeah, there's a lot of
Starcraft.
Properties. Yep. That is just, it's really gross.
Yep.
It's really gross.
A lot of people got to be jerks.
Don't be
a jerk.
They're being worse than jerks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're being way worse than jerks.
Why is our tagline, "Let's talk about games"? Our tagline should just be, don't be jerks.
Don't be jerks. But I, okay, so let's get into some other not gross news.
Yeah. And somber.
Yeah. a game that I really enjoyed, but I only played once, but it was just Dan and I that played. Need to play again.
It?
Actually, need to play with Bob, because I think Bob would really dig it. Black Rose Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
Black Rose Wars is announced. There's a new Kickstarter, Rebirth, for an expansion. That's Ludus Magnus Studios, I believe.
Yep, I think so.
August 24th, they're going to have a Kickstarter coming. So you can get on their Facebook page.
Expect big minis.
Yeah.
I would say expect to be able to get the base game as well.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people asking that question. And in other campaigns that they've run, they've not offered the base game.
Really?
Wow.
That's surprising.
It seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely because Black Rose Wars is kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
But
it's like the only way.
But anyways, it's a really neat game where you're all these mages showing up to the Black Rose for to become the dominant mage, right?
Right.
And so there's things you're going to do as you're moving through the rooms, you're casting spells, you're activating rooms, you're summoning creatures. The mages can attack each other. And you can damage the rooms, so then they flip over and they can't be used anymore because as you're casting spells, you're like...
dealing damage and blowing things up.
Yeah, it's just a lot of really neat things conceptually. The other cool thing is you're going to pick like a school of magic to start with, but then you basically can just start going into all the other schools of magic and getting spells out of there.
Yeah, you're like building your deck through gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, nah, I want some time manipulation spells. I want, destruction magic. I forget what all the spells are now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you always go with time manipulation first, because then you can have all the time to learn
right.
all the other
things. You just go back and learn everything else.
Yeah. Calm down, he who remains.
I didn't love it, but...
I think we need to play with a higher player count, and also style of game,
I think 1v1, is not the way to play it personally. I also just tend to not love skirmish games, especially 1v1, because it's just you guys beating up on each other. Right. It's not fun. It's just,
but there's
I
other goals, right? There's
and again, that's the thing. The game is super well made, and the mechanics in it are very interesting. The deck building mechanic while playing, and the room destruction and controlling that, and moving the miniatures around and spawning creatures to fight alongside you and cast spells and stuff. It's all very well done. I don't know. I want to play it again.
Yeah.
I
was the thing, right? Is like,
it was
at a higher
really
player count,
like always.
I think it would be more interesting. But and then the other bit of news I have is the Spiel des Jahres winners.
Saw that.
Who's that?
So Spiel des Jahres, the game of the year. They've announced their winner and their Kinderspiel, which is the family game of the year.
Okay.
I've not played either of these games.
Uh-oh.
And actually, one of them I don't even know if I've heard of.
Okay.
But now that I see it, I really want to play it.
Okay.
So Micro Macro Crime City.
You really want to play that?
I do.
First of all, I wouldn't say play. It's
solve.
It's like I Spy. Do you play I Spy
no,
or do you just stare
not.
At a picture?
No, you're going to go around the city and you're going to talk to people
uh-huh.
and you're trying to solve the mystery. It's like Sherlock Holmes.
Talk to people. From the gameplay that I've seen, it's you are solving crimes via pictures. Like,
is that what it is?
That's what I see. Like it's literally it's a giant paper with a bunch of hand-drawn people in a city on it, right? And you are given a dead body. So you look, and there's like a magnifying glass that comes with it, and there's a dead body here, and you're working together to backtrack his life and find him in other places and piece his day together and find where he was killed and who killed him, right? Like, and find out why he was killed, basically. You're backtracking someone's life. From what I can tell, it's just using your eyes and backtracking his life. There's no talking to people like
no
that.
No reading
I
passages.
Could be wrong, but from what I understand, it's just using your eyes and
like
the
pictures. Like, where's Waldoing this guy's life?
Exactly. That's from what I've seen, and it does not interest me, but people are loving it.
Well, I'm going to say I think you have to be wrong just because there's no way that something like that...
Yeah, where's Waldo the board game?
I know!
Who killed Waldo the board game?
I know!
Again, I am not an expert on this game. I could be wrong. That is all I have seen people talk about.
Here's one that you might like, then. Paleo won the Kennerspiel. So Paleo is a cooperative deck building game, and so basically you are cavemen and you're trying to survive, work together to survive, and so you're going to explore different locations, you're going to draw different cards to give you, it's almost like Robinson Crusoe light.
I was gonna say
because you could draw like a snake bite.
Isn't this kind of like no, maybe not. What's the where you're saving animals? The co-op game where you're saving animals.
Endangered?
Yeah,
no.
No? Okay.
No, way different.
I only saw a little bit on it, and I was like, is that like Endangered? I can't tell. So, okay.
No, but this looks pretty interesting, I thought, because you're working together. So if somebody gets a snake bite, then like hopefully
I've got
somebody...
an anti-venom card.
Basically, somebody needs to find that to keep everybody alive as long as you can, like a less hard version of Grizzled.
I like
maybe?
The art.
Yeah, or Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the art. Cover's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It could be cool. Paleo. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be something there, right? One family game of the year.
Yeah, it'll sell like crazy now.
Yeah. Sure
that's
will.
That's how it works.
Sure will. I don't know. I think Micro Macro, I really want you to be wrong about that.
I want me to be wrong, too. Trust me. Because I just didn't get the appeal when they were like, where's Waldo?
Right. did you play Holding On, The Life of Billy Kerr, where you're trying to, the guy's in a coma, and you're like the doctors, and you're assigning.
Beep.
You're assigning... you're assigning
Let's play something else.
nurses and doctors to different shifts, and then they're getting different information, which lets you draw different cards, and you're trying to piece together what is
happening. What's
happened
wrong
to him.
With him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, nope. Not even diagnosing, but like just his whole history.
Oh.
And so you're playing through and you're trying to figure out like, oh, was this guy involved in this?
Weird.
And yeah. I don't want to spoil things.
Blink yeah. once if yes.
But it's pretty interesting. And then there's also the you're trying to keep him alive and stable mm-hmm. because you can draw like event cards where, you know, crisis.
Cardiac arrest. Yeah.
Happen and stuff. It's nice. Kind of neat.
All right.
But whatever.
That's
my news.
That's a little bit of news. I got a little bit of news. Renegade Game mm-hmm. Studios,
yeah.
right? So Clank
small
and whatnot.
Small company, right?
Yeah, a little bit. in October, they have a new game coming out, G.I. Joe, the Deck Builder.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping somebody was going to talk about it.
Yeah, that looks cool. Dozens of G.I. Joe heroes and vehicles, 36 unique missions, play solo or with friends in this cooperative game, includes expert mode for even greater challenges.
I'm calling it right now. The end of the rule book is going to say, now you know how to play, and
knowing
is half
the
battle. I promise you it will say that at the end of the rule book.
Yeah. So, little PSAs in there, like pork chop sandwiches. Yeah.
So we haven't played this yet. We're going to play this at some point in time.
Go Power Rangers.
The question I've seen asked about the G.I. Joe,
okay.
is it just the G.I. Joe version
oh,
of
sure.
this game?
Because sure.
this is Renegade,
sure.
and I believe there's a Transformers one coming as well.
Yes.
So the question will be...
I would definitely play G.I. Joe over Power Rangers.
Not me too, but also I think Renegade's better than that.
Yeah. I'd like to think so.
Yeah. From what I've played from them, I don't
It might
make...
be similar.
Exactly.
Like Cryptozoic, right? Because they make different deck builders that are similar.
Right. I mean, their Lord of the Rings deck building game is different enough from the DC.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one as much. I'd rather have a power out than a random card in my deck.
I mean, what I'm saying is I think the base game will be the same, but there'll be some mechanic in it that's new that's thematic to G.I. Joe.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Red and blue lasers.
Right.
That's right. That's how you can tell. That's how you,
you
can
have a
tell.
New resource of knowledge.
Yes.
Because it's half the battle. But do you get pork chop sandwiches?
Yes, exactly.
I want the Joseph Gordon Levitt.
I said it. Of course I get it.
I want the Joseph Gordon Levitt card, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the movie.
Okay.
Okay. I guess it's timed aptly with the Snake Eyes movie coming out, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. What else you got?
That is it.
I knew the Spiel winners, but I didn't have anything else.
Yep.
All right, well, let's talk about crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding.
Thanks, guys.
Have you guys seen Divinus?
I have seen that.
On Game
Divinus?
Yeah. Divinus?
Divinus.
I don't know. That's how I say it.
I talked about this before. This looks really cool.
Yep.
It is Lucky Duck Games.
Okay.
So it's app-based.
Yep.
Similar to Destiny's, which we got to play.
Which we did enjoy.
And I really like that. Yeah. And then it's also Chronicles of Crime, right?
Mm, right, so, which is very cool.
Which is super cool. So you're going to take on the role of a demigod. So basically the Norse gods are battling the Greek gods. And then there's also barbarians. And you're kind of interacting. And then basically you're like, while all the big guys are fighting, you're working on like building up your own power base. Mm-hmm. So that when the smoke clears, you are now the dominant deity. There's tile laying, there's dice manipulation. There's a legacy style to it. So as you play through, and then like most legacy games, there's an eternal mode, which is available once you finish the campaign.
Okay.
So
you keep playing on afterwards.
I assume your board state or whatever. But anyways, it's on GameFound right now. I didn't even look at the price. I was like, ooh, this looks cool. This looks cool. This looks cool. It's way funded. There's a ton of time on it. So why don't you go while I look up the price?
Well, I
for
am
GameFound.
Actually going to go. I wasn't going to go next, and I wasn't going to talk about I have two. One is tiny, and I was going to talk about the tiny one first. But actually, I'm going to talk about the other one first because in my first game, you're a demigod. And I thought that was hilarious that you brought
maybe,
that one up.
No,
again.
You know what? Divinus hasn't launched as this has started, and I don't think they tell you the price point yet.
Okay.
So but I'm in the clear.
Soon, though.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
So
by the time this comes out, it's
out.
Alive. Yeah.
Correct.
So Oros by...
Yes.
I looked it up. I believe it is pronounced Esk Games. Esk is an old English word for ash, evidently. I was trying to find the research because I was like, that's a weird name. So I was trying to look it up.
I always use esk as in like an ish.
It's A-E-S-C.
Oh, okay. Never
yeah,
mind.
Exactly.
E, okay.
But yes, this is their first Kickstarter, and it looks like it's the designer's first game.
Oh, okay.
It is closing on August 12th. So that's how much time you guys have whenever you see this, of 2021, obviously. A 1-to-4-player game listed as 30 minutes per player. There is a $50 option for the base game, a $75 option for the deluxe edition, and a $750 option. But anyway, wow. Yeah, it's great. There's like silver-lined box and like travel to play with the developer or the designer, and like just all, and I was just like, man, dude, good luck. I can't. Yeah, but you know,
have fun.
I would if I could, probably. You know, yeah. if I could just like,
yikes.
For sure.
But yeah. So this is, like I said, you're demigods. And there's a map, and there are tiles of, like, Earth on this map. And you are controlling this and your followers in ways of creating new land. So you might be crashing lands together to turn them into bigger lands and eventually mountains, right? You are causing volcanoes to erupt to create new land, right? And that's where you make more land to bash together. It's a worker placement, tile-shifting area development game. It has this really cool mechanic, too, where the tiles on the outside, you can move tiles around, you know, as you're shaping the earth, basically. And the tiles on the outside are kind of in a wheel, so they keep circling as everything on the inside moves on their own, right? You take three actions on your turn, it looks like. And again, you erupt volcanoes. There's an automa. And yeah, so one of the things that really caught my eye is, well, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to... The designer and the how to play video they did is one of the best how to play videos I've seen for a Kickstarter. And the fact that this is their first Kickstarter, I was just blown away. I had to like message them and just say, good job, guys. Like, I learned how to play your guys' game so fast. It's a super well-made professional video. You're amazing at teaching a game. I know you designed it, but you're amazing at teaching a game, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so all that out of the way though. So there's tracks. And you're putting your worker at the a worker at the bottom of the track. This is the worker placement that you want to activate. So you want to spawn volcanoes, right? You put it at the bottom of that track, and then there are tiers, and you are increasing your knowledge of that skill, and you're moving this piece up, and it's uncovering more. So like, you know, at the first you can only spawn one volcano, then you can spawn one level two volcano, then you can spawn two volcanoes, right? And there's like four or five different abilities, and you're leveling all those up to do better at all of them, right? And then it's the first to a certain amount of points. You guys are going up this little like Mayan looking building. I don't know what those are called.
A ziggurat?
Actually, I think that's it. Yeah, good job. Very well done. And then on the scoreboard, some are red. Whenever someone passes, the first time each red spot is passed or landed on by anyone, all the volcanoes erupt to create new land and everything. And it's just the components for this game and the idea behind this game look incredible.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with Oros. I just randomly stumbled upon this one. And like I said, the How to Play was so good, and I watched the whole thing, and I've just been looking at it ever since. And we might, again, this is a might, but we might be able to get an interview lined up with the designer.
Right.
Nice. We're working on that and seeing what's going to happen. But so there you go. I realize now that I didn't write down when it was going to ship, which I usually do. But
I could tell you October 2022.
There you go.
What?
So next year sometime.
Oh, 2022, not 2021. Yeah. I was like having a.
I know. I was just reading a thing about 2021.
3 months.
Oh, last year. Oh, wait, it's still 2021.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just over a year, that's very reasonable.
Yeah.
And hopefully shipping's calmed down by then.
Right.
So. You know,
hopefully,
don't get buried on that.
Oros by Esk Games.
Yes,
check it out.
Man,
it looks very
cool.
Interesting.
Looks super cool.
I'll have to look it up. So I got one game came out earlier this year called Chronicles of Drunagor, Age of Darkness.
Oh yeah,
it's a dungeon crawler type of game with
monster.
Big crazy minis in it
this
and whatnot.
It is a monster.
Yes. They are releasing a sequel, which is called The Chronicles of Drunagor, Age of Darkness Apocalypse. And it carries on the story. Yeah, it's a mouthful.
How many words can we put in this
title? but it carries on the story of like the main character. It's very legacy where you're making decisions and what you make affects the game later on. And they have said that you can get the original stuff from the original run, the original campaign.
Right.
It's on GameFound right now. It says 11 days left. So by the time this airs, you'll have about a week or so left to get it. So the first week of August, it'll be running out. So if you're interested in dungeon crawly type of big mini game, this looks right up that alley. Their minis are big, crazy,
amazing,
campaign driven story. It's super funded. So Wicked safe.
Oh, man.
Wicked safe, Bob.
Yeah. But it's going to be like $115.
It's a little pricey, but there's a lot of plastic in there. But yeah.
$340.
Yeah, the original stuff they're saying is like it was $340. Yeah. Yeah, save yourself $40-$50. Yeah. If you buy the original stuff, it's you save $185 from retail, like
right?
The MSRP.
Yep.
So if you're interested in getting it, this is the way to save
this
yourself.
This is
most,
the way.
Most
so
money.
Jason from Board Game Mechanics,
yes.
Only $339.
Yeah. It's just right underneath your allowance,
just under your average allowance per Kickstarter.
It does have a. I don't think it has enough plastic, honestly.
Maybe not enough minis for Jason.
There are tracks, though. I did see. So
oh, he's out. Then. He's out. He doesn't like tracks.
Yeah.
Gosh. Tracks. Yeah. The mini. I mean. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Golly. Death Horseman
it's like
is crazy.
Yeah.
Insane.
Insane.
In the membrane.
Yep. Do you want to do your other one there, Dana?
Yeah, sure. So this one is a much smaller game. I just like this Mysterium feeling that this has.
Okay.
So it's called Turing. I don't know if you guys saw this.
That sounds familiar.
Ending August 18th by Mano Kent Games. 2 to 6 players, 10 to 30 minutes, 14 to $90, but I mean, the 90 is like whatever, all this crazy stuff, I'm sure. Shipping April 2022. So the interesting thing about this is that I have a hand of cards. I didn't super look into this. I get the basics because it's a pretty light game, it seems. I have a hand of cards, and there's going to be a card that says either left or right on it that I look at, and it's going to make me play either my leftmost or rightmost card, and I play that down. Mm-hmm. Then, out of all the remaining cards, I choose a card to play down, both face up. Okay? Then, I do that again and again, and I have 3 cards laid down in 2 piles. You guys don't see which ones I'm putting down, but you guys see 2 piles. You have to choose which one did the AI decide to play, and which one did I decide to play because like 3 of the cards will have something
combos,
in common,
continuity,
right? So there's something that links these 3. I'm playing them on purpose, where the
like
other 3 are random,
Club.
Completely, right? And you're kind of working together to figure out which one is the AI and which one is the human. And that's the whole thing. And
wow.
you're just working together and getting the little Turing test done,
so,
right?
So the whole thing is basically what do they call that test? The where you look at their eyeball and see if it moves, or the
I was just thinking of Blade Runner.
That's what I was saying. That's that test.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just saying
it's a
Turing test. Is that's why the game's called that. That's when you're testing an AI's intelligence, right? It's a Turing test.
Sure, but there's a Blade Runner one.
I know.
Checking
Void Comp.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something like that.
But that's literally all I had. You play 3 rounds, and then you just hope that you win as a team,
otherwise,
right? And I like
that. Or otherwise the AIs have become too intelligent.
That's right.
Or
you can't
tell
them apart.
Yeah. But I just like that super light and cheap Mysterium kind of game that you can just play with you know, someone you're close to. 14.
Oh, that's not
super
bad.
Cheap.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy.
Right?
The art is stunning abstract pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stunning. Like I'm saying, you think like the Dixit pictures and stuff. Whoever made this game obviously has the rights to some library of a bunch of abstract pictures that are, I love them.
Oh, sure.
They are amazing.
But how
looking.
Do you really feel about it?
They're okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
But yeah, if Jeff finds some, he can put some on the screen right here to show you exactly what I'm talking about. I love the artwork in this game.
Yeah. No, that's
awesome. That was, you know, again,
that sounds really cool.
The name and the main picture is what gets me to click on a crowdfunding game, and it had both great.
Both.
I love Turing. I was like, ooh, a Turing test? Okay. And then this stunning art combined, I clicked.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. All right. Any other crowdfunders?
That's all I got. That's
crowdfundings.
It.
All right. Well, Dan, what's coming up next?
It's time for an interview with Alex, one of the designers of Runes of Zun. And
huge jingle. longest jingle ever.
Well, I took inspiration from that board game you just talked about.
Okay.
Like, how many words can I
fit?
In
yeah.
Right.
But so we're gonna talk with Alex. We're super excited to talk to Alex. We're fans of Runes of Zun. We have a review for it right here before we even go into the interview. But Tim, go ahead and introduce Alex for us.
Thanks, Dan. I'm so excited because today we have Runes of Zun designer Alex Inoue. I got it. Bam!
Nailed it.
Anyways, and this is by Gobico Games. Mm-hmm. Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about Runes of Zun before we start pressuring Alex for all the information.
Sure, yeah. The guy who did design the game will talk a little bit about how the game goes. So this is a card game.
Okay, that's enough. Yep. All right, Alex, please tell us, what is Runes of Zun and how did you come up with it?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I'm the current designer, but not the original designer.
Cool.
So on the box, you'll see Dave Ballmer.
Yep.
He's the original member of Gobico, and But we are working on a lot of projects, and we're a small team. So right now, I'm in charge of a lot of what happens with the next things coming out for Runes of Zun.
Awesome.
The original Runes of Zun, though, I could tell you about the original design because I was there.
Yeah.
A long time ago. So this was, maybe about 20 years ago, maybe a little more.
Wow.
We were doing kind of rune-based cards.
Okay.
And we were saying, okay, look, this rune is like a syllable, and that rune's another syllable, and they have an aspect, like health, damage,
okay,
some trait. And we would we would combine them to make these cute words, like Weegen,
uh-huh,
and other fun things like that. And you would make your own spells, and you'd have to say it. And it was this whole huge system. But that was the original inspiration. And then years later, you know, Dave wanted a game to play that wasn't quite as hard as a lot of these deck builders, or especially TCGs like Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm, right.
But not quite as, you know, loosey-goosey, easy, simple as some more simple party games.
Sure.
Like Uno,
yeah,
is
right,
what
right.
we use.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, a game that you could pick up and play, but still have that feeling of battling it out.
So when it was
Cole's strategies,
when it was like word-based runes, was it still everybody just kind of battling each other and trying to knock out?
Yeah, I'd say it was still about doing damage and health, but it wasn't. To be honest, I'm not sure how far it made it in the development process back then.
Sure,
but
no, that's
know,
a really
good
idea.
For a long time,
but really seems like it would be hard to implement without, like, just being as an independent designer, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to, like, pop something out, like, to get people to buy into the wordplay. I mean, I think you could get, like, a small group of people that would, like, totally be into it, but then appealing to, like, a
mass. Yeah, some people might not want to say the words.
It's got to be
loud.
A good feeling, too, to know that Skyrim just straight up plagiarized you.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Bethesda's in trouble. So when you came in then and started helping out, like, what was your role as far as like the later design and the new implementation?
I'm so good at that.
Yeah. So I know it looks very nice. when I came in, you know, a lot of the original Runes of Zun cards that you get with the base game, so attacks, restores, boost, you know, that kind of core mechanic, you know, and the reactions too. There were some other iterations of them way back and a couple years ago. So I came in around then, but I didn't have a big role until a little bit later. But back then, it was mostly a game. It just, you know, we need a lot of testing. We need to make sure it was fair. We need to make sure the effects were tuned well enough, that they played well. You know, game didn't last too long. The health totals, a lot of these things changed. A lot of the original cards, though, the spirit and most of the effective and all of it, they've been there for a couple years, the original cards. We added a couple. So I was there for some of the reactions. They were overhauled or just replaced.
Yeah.
So those changed when I came in. I helped with that because there were some that, you know, felt bad for gameplay. And so we decided to try a few different things. There's a lot of halting gameplay, I think, with some older versions.
Oh, sure.
Or prolonged gameplay, a lot of healing. That the health tier system came up. Development.
It is
genius.
The
health tier system.
Yeah,
I love it.
When we did our review for this game, which I'll snap up there, that was one of my biggest takeaways, is just how, because an issue with a game like this, like you're saying, is it going to overstay its welcome because of that ending team up mechanic and stuff like that? And this system not only stops that from being possible, but it also is a deterrent to the team up mechanic. Because if Bob and I just keep wailing on Tim, then by the time Bob and I are fighting, we're still in the first health tier, you know? So you kind of look at it and you're like, I could kill Tim right now, but if I just do this one damage to Bob, he drops an entire health tier, and that is huge.
Right.
You know, like he can't heal back. Like, yeah, this system, it really does, I think, lift this game up a level.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great. That's my little rant on the health tier system.
We were happy to hear that on the video. You know, I found y'all. I didn't even notice that you had reached out through Facebook, and you know that's my miss. We have other people looking at Facebook, but I just looked
at you're good.
YouTube, Runes of Zun, and found y'all, and I was like, oh, dang. And yeah. I saw the whole video. It was great, but especially HP Tracker. We didn't even think about it to the degree that you did, which, you know, sure. is... Because we were like, we don't want the game to last too long. We didn't even think about the team up, the anti-team up thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well,
that's
as someone who's played it quite a bit, it definitely comes into play. It
really does. It really does. No, and when you put it into words, like because we knew it there in gameplay, we would never put it into words like that. So it was really nice to hear, you know, another perspective on the tiers because, you know, we've had people get the game, but people say, oh, we love it, but no one actually mentioned the HP tiers.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, you guys, not to just like suck up to y'all, but you guys do like a lot of things really.
You are very good at that.
Really well. Yeah. Shut up. Was that not? I love the iconography that you guys use because once it's a lot to explain like right off the bat, but once you're playing and you get through, you know, just a couple of turns and you start to just go, oh, yeah, like this will.
This can play on this.
Right.
Yeah. Without having to ask, like, hey, can I play this on this? Okay, I don't have that card. I was just wondering if I could do that, if I were to get that card. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But you guys really did a nice job, I think, because iconography really, if you've got strong iconography, it makes having to go to the rule book,
right.
you know, you don't have to do that near as much, yeah, right? Yeah. And and you guys just really nailed it with that. And I don't know. I mean... The last game, the game we played before doing the review, and we had played it. I played it
before, yeah.
But the game we played, it was Jeff even playing? Was it just three of us?
I think it was just three of us.
Just three of us, and it was like, I mean, it was a knockdown, drag out, like standing up.
Oh yeah.
As cards were getting played, Dan was out.
Yeah.
But was like watching the cards get played as Bob and I were like ping ponging back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean,
I'm down to one. I'll hit you. I'll reverse it back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There were so many times where we were down to one health, would get back up to four, back down to one. Mm-hmm. But it was so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, that it didn't matter.
Tense,
you know?
It was tense.
Yeah. Very, and it's still, it's not like it went on another half hour. It was really another 5 minutes.
Which is the nice thing about those tiers again. It's like, oh, Tim could have like gotten back up to like six or seven health if he was able to. But since those tiers keep him down there, it keeps the dragging out at the end like that.
Right. Yeah. I just really, oh gosh, the game, that game specifically, but I felt like the previous games had also kind of had a similar thing where usually, the team up aspect of it, right, kind of prevents a runaway leader.
You're right.
You know, yeah. Because it's like, oh, we gotta hit this guy and get him down a little bit.
It tends to promote intelligent moves over like emotional moves.
Oh, right.
I want to attack Tim.
Right.
Yeah.
The smart move is to attack Bob. Right. Like it tends to help with that quite a
as
bit.
As a rule of life, it is a smart rule to attack Bob. Yeah. Any game. That's smart rule.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, the design, you know, some of it came from just our size. We were like, we want something we could put out that looks good, but like, do we even want to go down that path of like detailed character art or any of that other stuff? So we went all in on the really readable, really strong visual. And I'm quite surprised and glad. A lot of people have said they liked it, not just you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad because being able to read the table is important. Being able to, like you said, read the cards. Right. We really tried to do our best to make it, you know, easy to pick up and just try to start playing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of teaching time.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Especially for a game like this, right? You don't want to spend 30 minutes teaching a game that you will play for maybe 30 minutes.
Oh, sure.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And again, I think, you know, and I mean this as a compliment, is the simplified design, right? The stark colors, the very clear runes. I mean, the runes are just sort of like on themselves are just like a nice flavor. But then you've got like the icons on the side that can tell you what can be paired with.
Yeah, so while they're splayed in your hand, you can read them without having to look at everyone individually.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
The game does a great job of telling you what the card does with the sentence and showing you how you can affect the card on the bottom left. And those are the two most important things you need.
Right.
So. No, they are. Yeah. No, exactly. And that's where I came in, especially even in the original game. I'm a writer. So, you know, before this, I was writing, trying to write fiction stories. I write science fiction, fantasy on the side. And, you know, I came into this also loving games and I had input on some of the cards' direction, even in the original set, but I was especially doing the text. So that action, bolds, Dave does a lot of design, so he might have had the influence of the letters, or sorry, the font, mm-hmm. the bolding, but I took a lot at the text, how it's worded. Flavor text, we all kind of collaborated on, but the trying to get it clear and readable mm-hmm. while still being, because like, do you guys see a lot of games with legalese text it's accurate, but like dense and hard to read?
Yes.
That was something we were worried about, because I am the type that I want to make sure that players, if they get too clever for themselves, they can't get into bad situations with the cards.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, we also said we want people to just have fun playing, not doing this the whole time, reading a card.
Because this is a just chuck the cards down mm-hmm. on the table, beer and pretzels kind of mm-hmm. game. I mean, right. there is legit strategy.
Right.
But
I mean, my mom is the one that backed it.
Yeah.
And it's a game I can play with my family. You know?
Right.
And it's because of the kind of stuff you're saying. My mom doesn't have to put on her bifocals and be like, what does this card mean? You know, she just looks at her hand.
Mom,
she goes,
80?
Yeah. But I said she doesn't have to do
it. Oh, okay.
But she just looks at the card. She goes, yeah, I'll play this. You know, because it's mm-hmm. intuitive. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nice. I wanted to, before we go into any talk of future ideas and stuff, because obviously
sure.
I don't even know what we can talk about, but
sure.
I have a surprise that no one knows about. Ha, ha, ha. It's the new expansion.
Woo-hoo! Oh, nice.
The new thing delivered.
Now you have nothing.
Yeah, you have nothing.
We got
tell
all
your
the,
mom thanks.
We got all the new stuff in. I didn't open it yet, but it's sitting here, so now we can be like, ooh, what do all these new insanely overpowered cards do?
Yeah. you went to the overpowered ones first. I see.
Yeah.
Those
well,
are
of course.
Is that what those are?
So this is my hand.
Yeah.
Fine. Bob and I will take this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Divine.
Give me more of those red ones.
Yeah.
Guess the top or bottom deck card type at the end of your turn, then draw it. If wrong, put this card on the bottom of the deck.
Okay.
So, you know, there's something. Surge, mm-hmm. reveal the top five cards of the deck, then take each modifier revealed. Return all other card types.
Wow. Just grab a bunch of modifiers.
In any order. And I'm not going to read the last one because. Yeah. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
I don't know.
Tim, you can have this card, Tim.
Oh, thanks. Oh, no. Defeated. This is terrible. This game sucks, Tim.
But, yeah, we got the expansion, and I'm really excited to try out this Arcane Secrets. I honestly don't know what it adds because my mom backed this without my knowledge and everything.
Oh, really?
So, nice. Yeah.
That's a real surprise.
So,
thanks.
Yeah, funny story. Dan, like, kind of sheepishly brought this in one day, like, because we uh-huh. all come in here to film, and then he's like, I don't know if you guys would be interested in this, but like my mom backed this game. We played it. It's pretty fun. You guys might like it. Mm-hmm. And we played it a bunch and was like, oh, yeah, it was pretty good. And then it's like, we need to do a review of this.
Right.
And
then we get that out. We keep playing it.
Yeah. Well, and then just by luck, right, you mm-hmm. see that we, you know, did a review and we reached out. Now here we are, which
that's,
is why we needed to do a review of it.
That's why you tag your YouTube videos intelligently.
Right.
Fair.
But yeah, again, though, that's sort of a testament to me of this game and like the accessibility of it. And not that your mom's not like your mom's not like a hardcore gamer, right?
I mean, she beat me at Lords of Hellas.
Well,
yeah, but who doesn't?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
But the fact that she found this, you
right,
know,
yeah.
and was like, oh, this looks
appealed
cool.
to her. Yeah.
This was the first thing she ever backed.
Kickstarter.
Wow.
Kickstarter.
No, I heard that. And we all were like, you know, that's but no, really, like, that's really awesome to hear, because that's the audience we want to go for, is we want anyone of any age to be able to play this game. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not their favorite game, but we wanted to make sure that, because some of the other games, they feel too simple. Oh, it's only just for playing with kids together,
right.
Or they feel really tough. And you're like, oh, man, I have to put like hundreds of money to get the meta deck, or
right.
the other, I just have to learn systems on systems on systems.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So like,
yes.
This was one way we were thinking of is those people who love TCGs and having big collections, or even really complicated other board games that come out and say, hey, family, or hey, friends, I haven't seen in a while. Let's play a game. And then everyone's tortured the whole time.
Right.
Just trying to figure it out.
Right.
This was something that those people can come and say, okay, look, I brought this.
Right.
Let's learn this. And if you like this, we can play the other ones too. This is kind of that middle ground.
Yeah,
it definitely plays a really good stepping stone. Yeah. It's definitely a great way of wording it as to, you know, maybe I won't pull out Marvel Champions, but let's play this and see how you react.
Well, you don't want to spend 2 hours getting pummeled. Right.
Building your deck. Oh.
So, or like Bob, building your deck.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this kind of game. I mean, I like Marvel Champions a lot too, you know.
Of course.
But as an omnivore, right? Like there's room in my collection for a game like this because I can take it over to in-laws that don't play as many games as I do.
Right.
Or, you know, but this is so easily
digestible.
Right. I just look forward to the day that, you know, again, I'm not trying to insult like Uno and stuff.
Sure,
It's fine, you know.
We just lost
it's
that totally Hasbro fine, subscription. We
but
just
I, did. I know, right? Ching. Yeah. But I look forward to the day, though, that games like this are sitting next to games like Uno and stuff at big box stores and stuff like that because it's just.
Here's a better version.
It's just so much better. And again, Uno is fine. Play. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. But take the step to games like this, too, because this really does take that kind of game and makes it more of a game, for lack of a better term.
Spoiler alert, Dan, you didn't read about Runes of Zun Blast, where they've got a card dispenser in the middle that just randomly shoots cards in your face. Like,
don't tempt us.
I played this high power card. It's
right.
Death by a thousand cuts. It's just cards shooting at your face. I love it.
They're all thematic.
Right.
You know, we'll run that Kickstarter one day.
Yeah.
We'll set a goal for 1,000 and ship like 5 people that game.
Right. And we'll make Dan back it.
Yep.
I mean, yay.
You're welcome. So, Alex, what kind of games do you play before we even get into future stuff?
Ooh, I just that's like, a good idea. I like that.
Meeting other gamers and being like, so what are you into?
Yeah, so...
I was going to say Uno and Magic Gathering.
No. So, okay.
Uno
I'm actually
Blast.
A bit of an outlier then, I suppose, in the board game because, like, Dave and Eric, they have been playing board games, keeping up. They have their own interests in certain genres. But for me, I'm probably more of a digital gamer overall.
We got a video gamer right here. So
hi. So then right now I'll give you some examples of things that I'm just playing right now. So right now I'm playing this random ARPG game I found called Last Epoch, which has been pretty fun.
Heard of it, but I've not looked at anything other than
it's still in beta, still developing. They had a Kickstarter I don't know how long ago. But heard of it and so I tried it out. It's been a lot of fun. And I've been playing a lot of other small like indie games just to get a kind of a feel for what's going on around there. So, but I do like digital board-like games or card-ish games.
Oh, sure,
so I've enjoyed, I got back into Yu-Gi-Oh! On the Steam just to try it out and learn it. Cause I played it when I was a kid and I'm like, now getting back into it and I'm like, what's happened to this game? Oh my goodness.
Don't play the modern versions, you know, it's,
Link summon, pendulum summon.
I hate it.
Yeah, Dan's the Yu-Gi-Oh guy.
I'll do Xyz. Xyz is interesting.
Oh, okay.
And I'll do it. That's as far as I'll go.
And Bob and I are the Magic the Gathering. Now, Bob plays physical. I play digital.
Yeah.
Oh, you play Arena. Okay.
I do. Because I don't have to spend any money.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Because I spend all my money on board games.
Yeah.
I don't like the game, and I'd play Arena.
But then you have kids.
Yeah.
So I've been playing some other games I've liked recently. I liked Monster Train was pretty fun.
I haven't played Monster Train.
It's a kind of a deck builder of sorts. Have you heard of Slay the Spire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to play Slay the Spire because that looks
amazing.
Slay the
Spire is really good.
Looks amazing. I've just been too cheap to buy it.
I'll get it on sale.
It's like 20 bucks, so right? It's not that much.
And then on sale, just watch it, put it on, follow it on sale.
And then when it goes on sale, scoop it up.
Do you understand what follow means on Steam?
I think so. It's a button that you click.
Yeah, it's like a young
man.
And
we were trying to do
make
a
this vibrate,
thing earlier this
and
morning.
Then I can go.
Tim was unable to get on there for our
interview there. Listen, it was a stupid Steam code, and I got 9 of them
after it was all over with.
After it was all over.
Yeah.
Maybe launch Steam the night before the
Correct. Correct.
I can't help but notice he hasn't mentioned Dead by Daylight though yet.
Yeah, that's
Dead by Daylight. Best video. I haven't played. I have it though.
Best video game ever.
Dan and I play.
I need to play
Daylight.
More. You're what you're telling me. All the time.
Do you do like Civilization or anything like that?
Oh, I love Civilization.
Yeah. I play that, and I play Axis and Allies 1942. There's a great Steam version.
I was
going
to say anyone who says he tends to like board game feeling video games probably plays a lot of Civilization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. No, you got me. I played every single one when they came out. Like I was tiny, relatively speaking, when one the OG came out. But yeah, I love the whole series.
Yeah,
Civilization.
Yeah,
amazing.
5 really like opened it up for me, and like 6 was good, but man, I always go back to 5. 5 was
5
so
is
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's most people's opinion. Yeah. 6 is okay.
Yeah.
Whatever one I have on my iPad now is too old to run the current version.
Oh no,
Tim, you're so getting sad. Too old to run the current version.
Oh no.
So this is where we announce Runes of Zun Digital. I'm just kidding.
Dan,
don't send me hate mail for spreading lies.
Jumping ahead. Yeah.
I don't have any insider information.
Uh-oh.
But maybe we can get some. Are there any future projects coming out then for
So actually, yeah, I'll do some minor spoilage.
Yeah.
So okay, we do want to do something outside of the physical for Runes of Zun. That is true. So that is something that we're trying to figure out if and how we can get that done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, right now we have a tabletop simulator.
I was gonna say yeah,
right.
Super easy
so,
to do that. Yeah,
you know, that's a way you can play with people. But you know, as everyone I'm sure who's used enough tabletop simulator knows that unless you have like crazy scripts. And lots of, and even then, it's finicky. And, you know, we want to, it would be nice to have another version that makes it cleaner, better experience. But even then, you know, we're keeping the tabletop mod up to date as well. So if you're interested playing digitally, you can't play with people. That's a great way to play as well. That's how we do our beta testing.
Right.
And we do play events in general. I'm trying to set up more events just every week to do, anyone interested could sign up or just join and just come by and play. So, you know, that's even through there, we want to get more interaction with people, get people playing together. But, you know, aside from that, there is another content for, another expansion we're planning that's content for Runes of Zun.
Uh-oh.
And, I won't release too much information cause I haven't gotten prior permission.
Of course.
Or rather, you know, I haven't asked the others, but,
sure.
The teaser will be that they are not rune cards.
Ooh.
Asymmetric player power?
Calm down.
Interesting.
So,
the cart before
and,
the horse. Not runes.
Yep. And this one will probably be bigger, maybe a little bit, maybe noticeably bigger than the
than like
current
this.
Packs that they that we've been releasing.
Sure.
Okay.
Right on.
So
ooh,
those are the things I think I can say without getting...
Getting in trouble.
Much.
Sure,
yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble.
Cease and desist.
I do
Another
have
one.
Something that I did get approval for that's coming up sooner before anything else released. The next thing we're releasing is not a Runes of Zun project.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've heard, we have a few other products on our store page. We have one other Kickstarter that we've run in the past before Runes of Zun. That was a tile kind of plays like Othello in some ways, or like Go in other ways.
Is that the Kuzushi?
It's called Kuzushi.
Yep.
Okay. And so that was our first Kickstarter run, and then Runes of Zun did really well, so we just kept putting content for Runes of Zun. We are actually thinking of adding a new title, and I'll say the name. It's called Nersha.
Okay. Nersha?
Like
for
Inertia.
Like Inertia, yep.
Perfect.
You got it. And this one is going to be a kind of a strategy game, but a little less intense. Again, I guess it's a middle ground. We wanted to get some of the feel of like chess, but we don't want you like trying to be grandmasters, you
right.
know, memorizing opening books. But we also didn't want to be like just checkers necessarily.
Sure.
So this one is a game where you don't capture and you're on a the original OG board we designed that Dave designed is very there's only a certain amount of space you can move, and when you move, you have to keep going to hit something like another piece or another board.
I knew it because inertia. That's
sense
so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the setting is there were two villages at other ends of like a valley a long time ago, and
playing
they created this game based on that horrible winter hundreds of years ago, where the hunters, parties of hunters, were all spread out in the snow and they got hit by a blizzard, and they have to like move past each other, and they didn't fight that time because they're all starving and just get home. So, and that's the lore is you're on this ice valley and you know sliding along and nice. Hitting the barriers, trying to make your way, almost as if you're not blind, but you can't just shoot straight home. You're trying to like maneuver around and get past the others, get past the obstacles. And the base board, when you play the kind of core board that Will recommends that you play at first, that will have a lot of blocking and forced moves because you can't move the same piece twice. And if you can't move, you have to pass. But if there is a move, you have to move. Mm-hmm. Nice. So there's a lot of trying to get into goals that your opponent is in the way of. You're in the way of each other's goals, and you're trying to maneuver. And eventually, on that board especially, you end up in a lot of game states where, you know, do you want to score because you have fewer pieces, which means you might have less options to block, or do you want to block up more and try to line up more goals, but then if you get stuck in a corner, you might be forced to do a really bad move because you don't have any other moves. A lot of that kind of playing around, but you know, the fun thing we have about it is when we were playing it, it's hard to even know who's going to win right away. So, and it's usually not punishing either. So we wanted this game, I think we're also going to say we want, you know, all ages to enjoy this. It doesn't need to be a game that you have to think about grand strategy or trying to like plan out. It can be a chill game, but there is depth. Like there are openings. There are ways that you could think about it like that as well. So that's something we're really going to have coming up pretty soon, actually.
On Kickstarter. And that's going to go to Kickstarter. So make sure you let us know when the links are. Be happy to share that because that sounds
We'll send it to you. That's pretty cool. Yeah, for sure.
That sounds really
and,
cool.
And, there's one more thing on that I think everyone hopefully will enjoy. We like upgraded the game by one concept that we came up with just a few months ago.
Health tracker.
Which was, no. Which was, it's not a static board. They're tiles. And you can build your board.
Nice.
And that has made the game... like it's another level. It's
that's
great.
Awesome.
So we're really excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like and I imagine like production wise, that's not too much.
No.
Too much more than just your static board, which is awesome.
Yeah. It sounds very interesting. I love playing with the idea of inertia just in general. Like I can see like whoever came up with the original concept just sitting there and being like, I just really want to do something with inertia and like uncontrollable movement and stoppage and, you know, and like and spawning stuff from that. That's just such an interesting element of physics.
Like big
and
curling
stuff, you know?
Fans.
Well, yeah.
It is just like the curling in a sense. Yeah.
Well, having played a game recently where you take moves and so really you're taking this move to kind of just accomplish maybe like one thing, but you're actually going to have to do like all the things. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes you're getting stuff you don't want to get because you take that move, you know, but it's really more like I'm just doing this for this. I really like that concept. And so that sounds really neat.
Yeah.
So
inertia.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So
that sounds
look
good.
Forward to inertia first. That's the next thing that we're going to put out, coming up here pretty soon. So we'll let you all know.
Awesome.
And then, look for Runes of Zun content. I think we'll have another Kickstarter as well with another content release. And then we're going to be looking at some other, bigger things as well.
Yeah, no, that's great because if Runes of Zun has given you guys some legs, right? As a company, right? And you've now got an IP and a game that people seem to be enjoying. I mean, we enjoy it.
I really
it's a lot to build on.
I'm annoyed that I can't remember it right now offhand, but I really like, Gobiko's mission statement. The way they phrase their thing, like on BGG, if you go to their page and you read their kind of their one sentence sum up of their own company kind of thing, you know, it's just so in line. I can't remember the exact wording, but I liked
it a lot.
It's so in line with what he's been saying about the three games he's mentioned here of the, easy to learn, like reach these people that like, you know, are in between these two that don't want Uno and don't want, you know, Twilight Chess, Imperium Twilight Gun, sure. stuff, right? And the way they worded it, I was like, man, that's a really good misstatement, and they have done a great job with what
embodying
I've
that.
Yeah, seen so far, you know? So, yeah, I liked that quite a bit.
Cool.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Bob, questions? Answers?
Yeah, questions.
Nope. I think I asked mine already.
Did you?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I got a question, because you're the writer, right? Yeah. So you're a writer, the writer. Do they tap you, or do you like just go, you know what, I'm going to do a whole bunch of lore and backstory for this? because
I
as being
it,
like a...
wrote it.
Perfect.
This is spoiler, not spoiler for ideas we have. Something I would love to do personally would be do anything related to campaigns that put you in the world.
Nice.
So... Mm-hmm. That's something we would love to do, and you know, if we keep doing well, that's might come sooner than later
right.
in some form. Yeah.
Right, because like, not that we'll ever get anything made, but Dan and I like been working off and on like a couple different projects, and a lot of times Dan comes with this really great structure for a game, like some really good ideas, and then. Not that I'm a writer, but I go in and fill out like a lot of the lore, though, right? And come up with the theme
why that
and,
is.
And, yeah, and just kind of just, and then we get together and just kind of like, you know, it just kind of grows and inflates. And
I'm
I feel
definitely
like,
more on the side of the idea, man, right? Where I'm just like, this would be a really cool mechanic, right? And you're like, wow, that's a really cool mechanic. I'm like, okay, go do something with that.
Yeah. Well, build on it. How do we make it, like, how do you make it a game? And then, like, what's a really good, how do you make it a good theme in a game? Because I do enjoy a good theme in a game. And while this is, could appear abstract, is not, right? Mm-hmm. Because the theme is that you are, like, these rune masters. And you're
that's right.
You know, you're casting these. And so the theme is, like, very sneaky because you don't even realize you're in the, on the theme. But if the theme matters to you, it's there. And if you don't care, it's like, oh, I got this nice little card game. And we're just going to play.
I guess.
Yeah, I could.
Continue.
I was going to say briefly, I could speak for an hour on the lore I've already established. Nice.
Yes. We'll just have you on for the lore for Inertia.
Right.
When it,
lore podcast.
When it launches. Because that'd be awesome. Because I love getting into the story and the lore. Because there's games that that we have loved that are not IP based, right? And it's like, this game feels like it's got so much lore built into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of story here.
Like, I feel like this is an existing property that we are just walking into
and
discovering.
Yeah, where's
the book series
for this?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. So that makes me happy to hear that, because I like that kind of stuff. I like theme in games. I don't absolutely need it. But, man, when a game is dripping in theme or the theme's really strong, I get pumped up.
So I have two questions.
Please.
First, as a writer, and second, as a designer, okay? Uh-huh. So first, as a writer... I just want to hear what you say. What is Zun?
Okay.
Right? These are the runes of Zun. So what is Zun in this
sure
universe?
Thing. Yeah. So Zun is the realm. I don't want to... Well, actually, you know, I could spoil some of the lore because I've written some, and it's there somewhere, rather. You just have to search a little bit. It's on the Kickstarter page, I think.
Okay.
Might have somewhere on the website. So Zun is a realm, and... That realm is battle scarred. Thousands of years ago, or sometime millennia ago, people don't even know, there was a a huge war, you know, way bigger than the scope of people that are living there. And the runes are spells that in the past, they were more freely usable. They were magic that was more, you know, sorcery kind of, you know, used by the users, like created then and there. And the runes themselves became a way to use the magic and store it so you could keep reusing a spell.
I had a feeling that's where it's going. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the runes of Zun is called that because right now the people who live in Zun, you know, think medieval era, kind of just your general fantasy kind of, at least baseline setting. Mm-hmm. But the runes are like, the whole land is drenched in these runes. They're everywhere. So people who can use and manipulate them or even see them are rune mages. And, you know, they're not even making their own spells anymore. They're just they're trying to manipulate what's there
they're
in the air.
They're just picking up these calcified bits of magic and casting
exactly.
them. Yeah, that's rad.
So that's Zun is the place that realm that this story takes place, right? Where runes of Zun, where you as a runecaster would be, and the whole place, the whole land that they live in right now will be called Zun. And then, and that land is full of these runes. Mm-hmm. That's
nice.
Yep. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm sure that's written somewhere, but I didn't remember it. So I was very happy to hear that.
That depth of it might not have been explained, but it'll come out more, I think, especially as we release more content, because, you know, the spoiler of non-rune cards, that'll, if it goes well, help us bring in more aspects,
right?
And and the lore will come naturally.
Yeah,
from that.
Right. Yeah, I could already see. Yeah, I'll wait till we're not recording to
ask. Fire off.
Yeah.
So my second little design question is: how difficult is it, because of how you're coming out with the expansions and stuff like this, especially now that you're coming out with a non-rune expansion, to balance things from the past, right? You add a new action card that has to work with, because the example that we found, which is purposely broken, right?
Yes.
But like when we introduced Anarchy into the deck, mm-hmm. it's like, well,
Anarchy ensued.
It's like, yeah. Wait, so how does this affect everything? Like, it just literally affects everything. Like, and you know, it's like, it's just,
it's
so
anarchy.
So how do you plan? Because I was talking to Bob a little bit about it when we were talking about it, because you do have a clever thing on most of the new, at least very popular purple cards, right, that specifically say, because they don't have, this icon didn't exist when the game first came out, it just specifically says on the card, this affects all X cards, or this is only unaffected by X, right?
Correct.
And so that's kind of the easy way to get around that. And I was just wondering how difficult it's been to have to, you know, how much planning went into it from the beginning, and how much of it is, okay, how do we balance this from the past on our new expansions, you know?
That's a great question, and it's very, very relevant. So, Anarchy is a good example of something that we planned around from launch, but it wasn't in the original design.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the original game launched, of course, that was there. It was a promotional card, one of the stretch goals for the first Kickstarter. So that was around from the beginning, and there were a few others. Decree was also there. So those pink cards, mm-hmm. you know, but we imagined those as being rule breaker break, you know, game breaking cards that you could just throw in for fun.
Right.
But people love them so much that we just ended up making more and just saying, you know, it kind of belongs. Everyone's going to put them in the game. So that was one design. I wouldn't say hiccup, but it was something that we didn't expect that they would be played as much and people were wanting to use them that much. So that changed how we had to look at their power levels, because we initially wanted them to be super broken, and Anarchy is
broken.
Well, it is and isn't broken. I mean, it's very powerful, but it's chaos, really, because it's not like one player gets a huge amount of advantage necessarily. And so that's one design philosophy we have, is I think no matter what we do, we at least try to not go too far in letting any cards, like, we don't want power creep, really. If we can help it, it's going to exist, but we don't want it to be extreme, for sure. So that's one design philosophy we have. And then when it comes to backwards compatibility, so that's one thing we look at. Are we, like, exceeding the power level of the original cards? But I'd say even bigger, in looking at the old cards to the new cards, you know, some of it wasn't planned. And, you know, as we've had expansions, that's where I've come in as a designer. Like, I've had more and more influence each expansion.
Sure.
So, like, Arcane Secrets, I mean, that's public information. Has it been opened?
No, it hasn't been opened yet, because I can't open it.
So, wait,
only
because
your mom, or
you'll
just
see,
you can't work the thing?
Yeah.
You'll see a kind of theming, and I think that's what we're going to go for in general, especially with Arcane Secrets. You'll see that they work together well with each other. They work well with the base game, and they work well with the other cards, but they have kind of a kind of feel, and so, or a similar mechanic. And I think in this case, Arcane Secrets has, like you saw on the Divine promotional card, guessing. So it has a lot of, you know, do you like players' hands or on the deck, the top or the bottom card of the deck, you can get more power, or you can set up those locations. So there's a card called Scry that lets you take cards from the deck on one, either top or bottom, and then put two more on the opposite side, so you can prepare cards. There's other cards that require you to guess, like Divine.
Right, a lot of deck manipulation,
deduce
kind of stuff.
Yeah, deduce, nice, torment.
So there's I think that's one we have, which is, okay, we want to create future expansions that, you know, don't nullify the old cards, but have, and in this case, maybe a new mechanic or a few new mechanics that that feel interesting and aren't too tough. And when it comes to game balance or difficulty, we and like mixing, so like modifiers going on to old cards and the type of thing, that is, you know, something we didn't, like, we knew could happen and we expected, but we didn't know how much content we would add. So, you know, we have our workarounds. Like you said, we just say in the cards, you know, this affects all actions, or like this can be played on any action. But when it comes to like complications, we do try to keep it simpler if possible, because I come up with ridiculous cards and then we go, okay, now let's make that
let's dumb
reasonable.
That down a bit.
How do we walk it back?
Yeah.
Those are,
and
really
so,
good.
Okay, I like your energy, but turn it down a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And one last thing I'll say is that with the rules, like you mentioned anarchy briefly, so and complications, like if I play this and this and this, how does that work when we add more content? It might get really tough to figure out, okay, what's the exact correct answer for can this play when that is affecting me and I do this, right? It'll just happen naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We intentionally look at every card that we add and we go, if someone messes up, does it ruin the game?
Oh, sure. Sure.
And if it doesn't, if they can mess up and it's still fun, we think that is fine.
Cares.
And we accept that. And of course, we're going to have a really comprehensive rule book, not printed. We're actually going to try to get a nice, you know, archive online. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make a really nice place for people to go and really get some nitty-gritties if they want that. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the rule book, we're going to have probably even, you know, clearer. We put a new rule book with the new, if you bought the base rune design in the recent Kickstarter, there's, I think, a little, you know, a little even easier to read how to play that gets you through.
Sure.
But yeah, we try to design something that's interesting and fun, and you don't need every expansion, but none of them invalidate or block any of the previous stuff. They should all add to each other, but not required either. And mm-hmm. that's our goal, is to try to make it, even if you mess up and play it wrong, it still feels good to play and there's no weird problems like that. So it's tough, but.
Right. I'll say on that note, it's funny because you're talking about how you know, you want to try to keep things simple compared to other things and how you don't want things to, like, oh, you know, is it still fun even if that messes up or breaks something or something? Because I know this probably isn't recommended, but I'm just going to say, anyone out there, obviously it depends on what you want out of this game, right? Are you trying to be the most hardcore player in the world, or are you trying to have fun with your family? That's two very different things. Mm-hmm. As someone who just wants to have fun when playing this game, every time, like every purple card that has come so far, yeah. I have thrown in the deck.
I was going to say,
I don't care.
Well,
I don't care if that's recommended at all.
Specifically, anarchy, though, right? Because when we played and we had the anarchy card come out, and you're just like, okay, boys, let's see what happens. I mean, yes, things went badly for some of us because that card came out. But at the same time, we all just were cracking up because we're like, this is nuts.
Like, I just don't know if it's recommended to be like, oh, pick your favorite two overpowered cards.
No.
I'm just like, I want my whole hand to be purple cards.
Yeah. No, I just like the madness, you know, like how crazy and just ramped up it can be with those cards. Because it's, again, that might give Bob a really powerful turn, but at the same time, there's a really good chance that I'm going to get some of those cards later on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to come back around, or there's that tension of when they're going to steal a card from your hand. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, don't take that one. Don't take that one. Don't take that one.
Yep.
And, I just love that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it just anything that ups the stakes a little bit, right? Like my own personal investment in the, like, oh, what's going to happen? Okay, cool. Like, I think they're great. I can see where, you could pull them out for like a nicer, calmer game, but I like to get rowdy. So
I love rowdy the promo cards.
Yeah.
I'll say briefly that the promo cards and any of our cards, any of the releases, we want players to go, we like these, we don't like these as a group. And when you play the game, we want them to go, we're sharing a deck. So they go, oh, he got it this time. Oh, he got it two times. Oh, she got it three times. But then I can get it next.
Yeah. Like,
we want that, and we want the, you know, the rules as well. We want people together to go, that's not how anarchy works. We're like, yeah, oh, I guess that's how anarchy works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As a group, you know, that's what we really want.
I'm looking forward to playing, especially with the way you've explained it, playing these promo cards again. This isn't even close to all of them here. But playing these promo cards here with all the new scry abilities and deck manipulation.
Dude,
abilities. Yeah.
Dude, I've been looking at these.
Very interesting.
And yeah. Yeah. I wish I had time right now to play, because it's like, oh, this is gonna get so much crazier. And but that's just a testament to how much fun this game really is.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. You guys have anything
I'm
else
good. I asked my great questions.
You did.
They're good,
yeah.
You did.
Yeah,
did you?
Is
that on camera? Was I here? Was I here?
Yeah,
when
I didn't
you
say
were...
like I was here.
Well, okay. I mean,
just
great
checking.
Questions.
Just checking. Well, this has been awesome, Alex. Thank you for coming on and getting into some of this with us, because like our review, we were fans. Just by sheer luck, we discovered it because your mom backed it. So now we will try to not let other people miss out, because we'll just go to the mountains and
spread awareness
and yell.
Well, we're still very passionate about this game. You know, even if, you know, it seems like, you know, with the recent times, it's been tough for a lot of companies, I'm sure.
Sure.
We really want this to keep going out there, and there's so many things we want to do with it. So
yeah, yeah, and not even on just being like, we only want Zun games, right? Like, I would just, Dan and Bob and I, we are kind of big on like, oh, we really like this company, right? Like, oh, like they put out stuff we like, or we know people from this company. You know, we've talked to people, and then it's like, well, you know, help out. CMON doesn't need all the money, right? I mean, you got to help out the smaller,
right.
You know, smaller companies, especially if they're putting out really solid, you know, games that it would be easily overlooked, you know, just because they don't have the media presence and the millions of dollars to put behind, you know, a big old ad campaign.
I also wanted to point out, obviously, it's nice because it's a small box game, card game, all these kind of things, right? Four cubes in it, right? Mm-hmm. Simple ideas here. But we talked about this with Wolves of Mercia as well, and I just think this company deserves it. You guys deserve it. I have been blown away on your guys' shipping time. Like, I mean, seriously, like, it's like when my mom backed the second expansion or whatever, like, that's all she said was that she backed it. I didn't know when anything else, but I mean, it felt like she got it like 2 weeks later or something. Like, I don't understand. And, you know, the base game was like that. Your guys' shipping turnaround. And I believed it when I read it because, like I said, it's obviously easier to ship a small box card game than, you know, this giant, massive monster. But still, I've been so happy with how you guys have actually pulled it off, and were truthful with your numbers. And that's just always nice. We were blown away with Wolves of Mercias, and I've been blown away with Gobico's.
Yeah,
shipping.
No, it's easy to get excited about, you know, companies that
do things
work and operate this way.
Well, and I mean, I suppose the whole, you know, I back something, I got something, and then like a year later, maybe that's when you could see it.
Right.
Like, we definitely didn't want that to happen. So
sure.
We do our best. And, you know, there's a lot of shipping problems right now, but we do everything we can to get it. And I'm really glad. Thank you for saying that, because it makes everyone else will feel glad at Eric and Dave will love to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. You guys deserve a lot of credit, though, because clearly you're doing a lot of things right.
Yep.
And I'm really glad. I'm really glad that Runes of Zun is doing well enough to warrant more attention and everything.
Yeah.
So, fantastic. Fantastic.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll keep putting stuff out. And Nersha, again.
I can't wait for Nersha.
I'll get you something for that real soon.
Yeah.
Because that one... you know, it'll be the first game after Runes of Zun, so we'll see the reception on that too. But Runes of Zun also is definitely going to keep going, just at the rate it's already been going. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is exciting.
Sweet.
That is exciting. All right, well, I don't have anything else.
I'm spent.
Yeah, yeah. You actually participated, so you're going to need a nap after this.
I know.
All right, well, I guess we're going to call it there. So thank you, Alex, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
And look forward to having you back to talk about more stuff. You want to be a guest on the show and hang out with us.
Right.
And, I'd love to.
Do all the fun things.
Yep. If that you ever need us to teach you how to play Dead by Daylight, it's totally okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
You don't have to. They've been trying to get me for so long.
Listen, because it's not called Final Fantasy, I understand you don't want to play it.
Thank you.
Or Elder Scrolls.
Right.
which clearly ripped off.
Yeah,
hold
on.
We
don't mention them before. Oh, yeah. During the lawsuit.
But thank you, Alex. I really appreciate it, man. It's been great having you on.
Yep.
No, thank you very much for having me. And yeah, maybe I'll see you guys sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. All right, guys. That was the interview with Alex. It was really awesome.
It was.
I'm excited to have him on in the future, not only to talk about future projects, but as like a just sort of a guest host one day. I think it's going to be a good time.
That would be fun.
So that being said, thank you guys for watching and tuning in. If you have any questions, hit us up on Facebook, comment on the video, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. All the things.
Right. Also, I just checked. We're now 23 subscribers away from our 500 subscriber giveaway.
Yeah.
Anyways, as always, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
And I've been Dan.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Okay, guys, one other thing real quick before you go. Somewhere in this episode, there's a Waldo in the background that may or may not have committed a murder because of Micro Macro Murder City.
Can you
murder
find
party?
Him?
So yeah, find Waldo and comment. Maybe we'll send you something fun. Oh boy, please.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.